Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Today, we're going to hopefully finish about gates, and we're going to talk about binary numbers and binary arithmetic, hopefully. So, just an update. Office hours are finally finalized. So you have them on the website. Just an update. I think Amar was the only one who did not have the office hours finalized. We try to have people cover office hours every day of the week. So, you know, if you can't do Monday, maybe you can do Tuesday. If you can do Wednesdays and Fridays, maybe you can do Thursdays, and so on. So if you want to, you don't have to write them down right now. I updated them on the website, and you can find the office numbers, too. Moody and Amar have the same office, so that's kind of easier to remember. Okay, so I had a lot of questions about the clicker quizzes on Sakai, and I just wanted to clarify how that works in case, you know, it's not clear. If you come to lectures, you do not have to do the quizzes on Sakai. If you do not come to lecture, you can make up for some of the attendance, about 70%, by listening to the audio of the lecture and doing the clicker quizzes on Sakai. So these are the testing quizzes, and I'm going to enter student. Okay, this is what you guys see. And let's say you missed the quiz on the September 20th. Each quiz is named after the date of the lecture. So make sure you take the quiz for that date. When you take it, what you're going to see, and this is not a mistake, you're not going to be able to see the text of the question. Well, this had a picture, so you know it's really hard not to put the picture up. But you're not going to be able to see what the question is and what the options are. And the point of that is so that people listen to the lecture, which I think is very important. There's no textbook for this class, so if you have missed the lecture, it's really hard to catch up because there's no materials. So please do that. There's lecture slides. There's lecture audio. I'm trying to discourage people not coming to lectures because lectures aren't that important. So again, if you come to class, even if you click all the questions wrong, you get 8 points out of 10. If you do them all correct, you get 10 out of 10. If you do them at home, if you do them all correctly, you get 7 points. And if you do all of them wrong, you get 0 points. So it's definitely encouraging you guys to come to lectures. Any questions after this? Sorry if I'm saying this so many times. It's just I keep getting questions. So I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Okay. That's one thing. Second thing is homework 2 is up. It's due a week from today. So if you have any questions about it, you can ask me now, or next time, or you can come to office hours. But if there are any questions right now for people who have looked at it, I don't expect a lot of you guys to have looked at it, but yeah, go ahead.
How do you find the check when those two students are missing? I know it's the same number, but I don't know how to do that.
Okay, that's a good question. Let's see. So, let's do an example. Okay, I'm going to make something up right now. Hopefully it'll work. So two digits missing. Let's do 1x, this is missing, 2, 3, 4,
needs to give us a multiple of 10. So basically, 101 plus 2x, which does not work. Sorry. Let's make this a 2. So if we make the first digit a 2, the odds become 29. Odds times 3 become 84 plus 3 is 7. This becomes 104 plus 2x. And now it works better. So 104 plus 2x plus 0 needs to give us a multiple of 10. So it needs to end in 0. So what is x? Yeah, if x is 3, we get 104 plus 6 equals 110. So x is 3. Okay? Okay. So I have another question. Did you have another question?
I'm having issues opening the PDF.
It's not posted on Google Docs. It's just on the email me and I'll send you a copy of your work.
I think the one that you had for home, I don't know, that one works out. We tried it.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll make a note to myself so I don't solve any class. Yeah. Okay, that works. And if there's a mistake, I'll let the class know. Yeah, go ahead.
How do you want us to provide explanations for the answers?
Stuff like this. So. Odds equals, evens equals.
First scratch,
you don't have to. Well, you are either going to upload your file or you're going to send a link from the website. So there's two options. Either way, we can see your code. Yeah?
Assignment is a
paperwork. Okay, so upload it on the website and put a link to it. Okay. Thanks for it. Any other questions? Okay, everybody's okay for now? All right, I'm going to ask this question again in class next time. So you have another chance for it. Okay, so another thing that we are going to do is we are going to experiment with Google. So later in the class, in about a month and a half or so, we're going to learn about how Google actually works. And in order to see that, we're going to kind of test it and see what happens. So what we're going to do today, we need to all find together two cool words that Google doesn't know about. So that these are new words, words that do not exist yet. Okay? And we have to come up with, this is very hard. Actually, it's harder than you think. So just come up with a word that I'm going to look it up in Google, and Google is not going to find it. So what are some suggestions of cool words, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or something? Any ideas? I don't know, it can be two words glued together or... Yeah, go ahead.
Clamorant.
How do you spell that?
C-L-A-M-B-R-O-F-R-I-N-G.
That's very good. No, very close. Wait.
Did you mean?
Yeah, we didn't mean that. So it doesn't find it. This is very good. Nice. All right, I'm going to write that down. We need another one, though. You have a gift. And what does it mean? We have to come up with, you know, because we can't just make up a word. And so, yeah.
Six claps.
Six claps in one word?
S-I-X-C-L-A.
S-I-X-C-L.
A.
Great. Perfect. Six claps. Okay, well, this one, we can find a definition for this one, but we need to find
I feel like it'd be fair to find a definition for a Clamber fringe. Well, we'll think about it. I'll take suggestions over emails and stuff. Okay, great. So here's what we're gonna do with these words. So you're all witnesses that Google did not know about these words, okay? So what I will do is I will make I will put one of these words on the website, which is public, it's accessible by everybody. And then I will put the other word on a new website. So let's see, I'm gonna do this. This is our webpage. Somewhere on the webpage, maybe at the bottom of the webpage, I'm gonna say, here's a link to one of our awesome new words. So it's gonna be, you know, click here, and this is gonna take you to another page where the word Clamber fringe, that's where you're gonna find the new word, okay? The other word, I'm going to make another web page with the six flaps and a link to our website. No links from the website to this web page. Okay? So this is going to be our experiment, and we're going to keep Googling these words. Feel free to do that on your own. And let me know if you find them, if Google finds them. And we'll see what happens, I guess. Okay? Any questions about this? Yeah.
Can you explain that over again, which is which?
Okay, so the first word is going to be, there's going to be a link from the bottom, at the bottom of the website, I'm going to put a link to a web page that will have that word, the first word, and nothing else. This one, it's going to be another web page with a second word and a link to our web page. But no links from our web page to this website, to this web page. All right. Any other questions? No. All right. Let's try a clicker question. So this is a truth table to formula. And your truth table is, so A, B, C, A, B, and C. C is true when A is false and B is false. C is false when A is false and B is true. C is false when A is true and B is false. And C is true when A is true and B is true. And the problem, the question is, what is the formula for this truth table? And the options are A, false, B, C equals not A and not B. C equals A or not B. D, C equals paren A or not B, close paren and open paren not A or B. And E, C equals paren not A and B, close paren or open paren A and not B, close paren. It's DB. Do you know how to set it? Thank you. stop at 3. Stopping. Okay. So I'm going to try to do something new this time. Why don't you guys take some time and talk to each other? There's going to be a very similar question after this question. So take some time to talk to each other and try to find out what the right thing to do is or how to solve this problem. And then I'll have another question. Thirty more seconds. Okay. Uppington. Stopping. Okay, I think this is a little better. I think before it was 40 people the right answer, now it's 44 people the right answer. That's good. Let's see. Okay, let's do this one.
So, there's two ways of doing it. This last time we learned that if the table is mostly true, if C is mostly true, you do it one way. If C is mostly false, you do it a different way. This is equal numbers, so you can do it either way. I'm going to do it the hard way, which is the second way. So I'm going to consider that C is mostly true. Okay. So this is false, true, false, true. Can anybody see a very short way of writing C? What is it?
B.
C is identical to B. So the short one would be C. Okay. We're going to ignore that. So we said that consider each row where C is false. So this is one row, and this is the other row. So those are going to be the rows that we're going to focus on. And now write an expression with A and B. So if A is false, we're going to write not A. If A is true, we're going to write A. So this is going to be an and. A is false, B is false. It's going to be A, not A, and not B. Not A and not B. For this one, A is true and B is false. You're going to write A and not B. And there's an or between them. So but because we said that C is false, we considered the row where C is false, this is actually not C. So these are the rows for which not C is true. So as a consequence of that, in order to find C, we need to not this whole thing. So in order to get C, we need to not A and not B. That's one thing. Or A and not B. Now we can apply the De Morgan's law, which says that the not of something, not of an or, we're going to distribute the not to the terms of the or, and the or will become an and. So C is not the first term, not A, and not B. The or becomes an and then not this one, not A and not B. Now, in here, we have the same kind of, on a smaller scale, we have the De Morgan's law. So, not this whole thing, we're going to distribute the not, and the and will become an or. So, not A, what is not A? Equals A. So, C will be A or B. The and stays the same, right? Because we don't have the not just got distributed in here. The and stays the same. Not A or B. So that's what we're looking for. Okay. If I were to go the other way, if I were to consider the rows where C is true, what would that be? Can somebody tell me what that is? This is for mostly false. And this is for mostly true. So the one that we got was for taking the rule for mostly true. Yeah, go ahead.
If it was for true, it would be not A and B, B, A
Or Supreme Court. But yeah, that's it. So this one is for this, and this one is for this. And then you order them together. And these look different, but they're the same. And I can show it to you. If you make the truth table for them, you're going to see that they all look exactly like this. Any questions?
Okay. So I just wanted to go over real quickly what, you know, to give you a little bit of the big picture of what we've been doing. We said that we are trying to reduce hard problems to simpler problems, but we need to know what the simple problems are. We need to know where we want to go, what we want to take, where we want to take our problems. So that is why we went from simple to complex. We started with the basic building blocks, which are bits, and built up, we use bits to make ands and nots, and we made ands, nots, and ors, but we showed that we can build ors out of ands and nots, so all we need is ands and nots, basically. And with ands and nots, we made more complex gates. And we said that we can do any Boolean function, any logical function in the world, in the universe, can be made with ands and nots. So if we know how to make ands and nots, then we know how to make any logical gate. So reduction is going to go the other way. It's going to go from complex to simple gates, simple things. So now if we have a complex gate, if we have a complex problem, we know how to turn it into ands and nots and then into bits. And we're going to finish that idea up today, hopefully. So this is kind of a slide that kind of summarizes what I just said. We love ands, nots, and ors because they're so simple. And now no matter what the problem is, so our example was the NIM game. We said, okay, we're going to take this game, we're going to take this problem in the real world, and we're going to turn it into switches and bits and ands and ors and nots and so on. So, you know, if you wanted to make a robot, you would have lights on the robot. You might want to turn the lights on and off according to something that you choose. So, you know, the weather is nice. Let's say the robot has a temperature sensor, so that would be one input. If the temperature is over 80, you declare that that's a nice weather. And so, you know, the robot tells you the weather is nice, a little light goes up. So all these functions, all these little lights that we can turn on and off can be reduced to Boolean functions. And we ended last time with this idea that these Boolean functions, these logical functions, which are anything that, you know, any kind of logical process that we would like to implement, can be expressed in three ways. One is a Boolean expression, which is a formula, you know, x and y, or, you know, z equals something with parentheses, and it can look very complicated, it can look very simple. It's a Boolean expression. We can also express the Boolean function as a truth table or as a gate, and they're all equivalent. So we can go between either one of them can take us to any of the other ones. For example, if we want to, if we have a formula, how do we build a truth table for it? Well, let's say we have this formula, w equals not x and y, or paren z and not y. The way we build a truth table is just to make a nice truth table with all the inputs, which are x, y, and z, and the output, and then just go over all the possible combination of values for x and y and z. And see, you know, compute, like, replace x with false, for example, for the first row, replace x with false, y with false, and z with false, and see what happens. What does w become? And so on. You can go over the whole table, and you can fill it up. So let's do this question. If this is the same w as before, w is not x and y, or paren z and not y. What is the value of w when x is false, y is false, and z is true? And your options are A, true, B, false, C, we don't have enough information to determine the value of W, D, D, it can be either true or false depending on the way we define the operators. Stop at 2 minutes. More seconds. Stopping. Okay, that's pretty good. So this one you just have to go over the expression, replace, as I said before, x with false, y with false, and z with true, and then just apply, you know, look at the truth tables and apply them. Any questions about this problem? Okay. So this was one way. We went from formula to expression, to truth table. How would we go from truth table to expression? Any ideas? If we're given a truth table, how do we find expression for it? Yeah. Yes. Using the truth table to formula slide from the previous lecture. So let's do this one, which should be a lot easier. Just in case you're discouraged about the other ones. This is a truth table. C is false when A and B are false. It's true when A is true and B is false. It's false when A is true and B is false. And it's false when A is true and B is true. And the options are A, C equals A and B, B, C equals not B or A, C equals not A and B, D, C equals A, E, C equals not A and not B. Stopping at 1:45. Okay, stopping. Okay, great. Majority answer is right. Okay. I think I'm going to skip this one. Okay, so you can also go, obviously, from truth table to gate, and that's a little trickier. We haven't done that much. So given a truth table, we had this example where we had an if-then-else number 4 gate. We had 3 inputs, and this is how we decided that we wanted the gate to work. And based on this, we made this truth table. So let's see. If A is true, then D equals B. So if A is true, then D equals V. So D copies exactly what B is. And if A is false, then D copies C. So we just decided how this what we wanted this to work. And at this point, we just need to focus on this aspect of we have the truth table, and we want to build a gate for it. And we saw that, you know, we found a complicated expression with ands and ors and nots for this truth table, which you guys know how to do now. If I gave you this and I asked you to find the formula for it, you would really hate me, but you would be able to do it. And based on that, you get this gate, right? So we said that it was something like, after it was simplified, you probably can figure out that if you were to do the truth table to formula on this truth table, it would be very big. But there's all kinds of tricks. You can simplify it, you can make it smaller, and you would get to do it like this. So that's the process. And you can also go from a gate to truth table, which is interesting. So you're given a gate. Let's say you have this gate, and you have the X, Y, and Z are inputs, and inside there's a bunch of nots, an or, and an and. And then your output is W. You just go over the truth table, and for each combination of values for the inputs, you can trace it down, what the outputs are going to be. So, for example, let's do this one. If you have this gate, and the question is, what is the output of the gate when X is false, Y is true, and Z is false? And your options are A, true, and B, false. I'll stop at 1:30. Or 1:40. Okay, stopping. All right, cool. So you just have to, you know, again, going to the truth table before. If you'll let me go. You can just take each combination of values, and you can fill out the truth table according to what this gate does. And that's how you can go from a gate to a truth table. You can also go from a gate to a formula, which is pretty easy. Like in this case, we'll do that later. And so we said that we can do any kind of Boolean expression we can do. We have the ands, we have the nots, we have the ors. We saw that with the if-then-else gate where we just said this is what we wanted to do, and we made a truth table, and then we made a gate. Let's look at this one. This gate is called the equal gate, and it takes 2 bits as input, bit 1 and bit 2, and it outputs 1 bit, which is going to be true if the two bits are equal, and false if the two bits are not equal. So how we make this gate? How can we build it using ands, ors, and nots? Well, this is what we wanted to do. We have two bits as input, one bit as output. If the two bits are equal, if they're both true or if they're both false, we want D to be true. Otherwise, we want, if they're different, we want D to be false. So let's fill out this truth table. How would we fill it out? What is D? Can somebody tell me what the last column will be? Yeah.
True, false, false, true.
Yeah, so when they're both false, it's going to be true because they're equal. When they're both true, it's going to be true because they're both equal, and otherwise it's going to be false. So that's it. And now let's make a, what is D going to be? What is D going to be as a function of a bit 1 and bit 2? What's the expression? Well, you guys all know how to do that. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't it not A and not B, or A and B?
Not A and not B, or A and B. Yeah, that's it. So that's our gate, and now we can build it because we have it made of, we reduced everything to ands, nots, and ors. And so that's what it's going to look inside. Bit one is going to go through an AND gate together with bit two, and bit one and bit two are going to go through a NOT gate and be ANDed together, and it's all going to go through an OR. So the input of this OR is going to be bit one and bit two on this side, and not bit one and not bit two on this side. So the output is going to be not bit one and not bit two, or bit one and bit two. Exactly what we want. Now, what if we want to have five? Remember the if-then-else with where we had two numbers that were five bits each? We want to have the same thing for the equal gate. We want to have a group of five bits. So char 1 is going to be, I don't know, a 5-bit number, 00100. And char 2 is going to be maybe 010100. So we're going to have these two numbers. We want to test, are they equal? By using the equal gate that we just made. Are these numbers equal? Well, what if I have two normal numbers? What if I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 1, 2, 5, 4, 5? Are these numbers equal?
No.
Why are they not equal?
3 and 5.
Right, because this is a 3 and this is a 5. It's the same with bits. Two binary numbers must have all the bits that need to be pairwise, need to be equal at the same time. So this bit needs to be equal to this bit, this bit needs to be equal to this bit, this one to this one, and so on. Okay? So that is why we built this equal 5 gate this way. We take the first bit of the first number, put it through an equal gate with the first bit of the second number, right? And so the output of this equal gate is going to be 1 if they're equal and 0 if they're not equal. The same way we put the second bit, they're numbered from 0 to 4. So that's the second bit of char 1. We're going to put it through an equal gate with the second bit of char 2. And the output is going to be, again, true if they're equal and false if they're not equal. Now, what do we need? We need all these outputs, this output, that output, all the outputs of all the equal gates to be 1 if we want char 1 and char 2 to be equal. So all of them need to be 1. If one of them is 0, that means that one of the bits, of the pairs of bits, is not, they're not equal. And so if these two bits go through an equal gate, what is that equal gate going to output? False, right? Because 0 is not equal to 1. And so one of these gates, in the case of the number that I wrote down on the board, this gate will output false. So then we want the whole gate to output false because the numbers are not equal. Okay? So that's why we use an AND 5 gate. The AND 5 gate works just like the AND gates, but it has 5 inputs instead of 2.
So, and what it does is, if all of its inputs are true, it's going to output true. If one of the inputs is false, it's going to output false. It's going to be just an AND gate. You know, it needs all the inputs to be true in order for the output to be true. And so this is what it's going to look like, right? If you look inside each one of the equals, so this looks kind of clean and neat and, you know, but if you start looking inside, it becomes a little packed. So, but this is how we made the equal gate, and we know how to make the equal gate now because we just made it. And then the AND 5 gate is just going to be a whole bunch of ANDs put together, right? So in order to build an AND 5 gate, we're going to need 4 AND gates, okay? And that's how we can build an equal 5 gate. Two numbers as input, each number has 5 bits, and output's true if they're equal, output's false if they're not equal. So how many ANDs do I have, do I need to build an equal 5 gate? So each equal has 2 ANDs and 2 NOTs and 1 OR. I know it's kind of hard to see. How many, what's the total number of, let's ask this most simple question. What's the total number of ORs that I need? 5 ORs. What about the number of ANDs? So there's the ANDs inside, I need 2 ANDs for each equal gate. And then I have another 4 ANDs here. 14. Okay, good. So this is just summarizing the number of gates that I need. If you wanted to build an equal 5 gate, that's how many gates you would need. And if you want to add them up, it's 29 gates. I don't think that's a very good idea because it's like adding, you know, if you want, you know, apples and oranges, you're not going to say, I want 20 pieces of fruit. You're going to say, I want 15 apples and 5 oranges. But you, if you want to find the total number of gates that you need, you can add them all up. So we need, at the higher level, the equal 5 gate needs 5 equal gates and 1 AND 5 gate. On our lower level, for each equal gate, you need 2 ANDs, 2 NOTs, and 1 OR. And for the AND 5 gate, you need 5. You need 4 ANDs. So that's what this says. You have a 1 AND 5 gate, which is made out of 4 AND gates, and you have 5 equal gates, which are each made of 2 ANDs, 2 NOTs, and 1 OR. So it's almost like making a recipe. If you know what you need for a batch of muffins, if you want to make 5 batches of muffins, you're going to multiply everything by 5. So let's see. This is the if-then-else for gate. One if-then-else for gate takes 3 inputs and has 1 output. And it's made of 2 ANDs, 1 NOT, and 1 OR. And this is, if you want the expression for it, that's the expression for it. Now we have if-then-else 5 gate, which we actually looked at in one of the previous lectures. You have a control bit, and you have 2 numbers that are 5-bit numbers. If the control bit is true, the output of each one of these is going to be the bits of the first number. If the control bit is false, the output will be the 5 bits of the second number. This is just how it works. And we saw that it's made like this. And if you want to track down the electricity, how it works, you can do it and, you know, make sure that you understand why it works. But if we want to make an if-then-else 5 gate, and we know how to make 1 if-then-else gate, for which needs 2 ANDs, 1 NOT, and 1 OR. We can know exactly how many ORs, NOTs, and ANDs we need for this if-then-else 5. So let's do a quick question, another one. Just trying to keep everybody awake because I figured it's rainy outside and you're going to be sleepy, but I guess you're not. But anyway, that's why there's so many quicker questions today. So how many OR gates do you need if you want to build an if-then-else 5 gate? An A, 10, B, 11, C, 1, D, 5, E, 20. Yeah. No battery? I think I have a battery with me.
I don't know if this battery is at 12, and it
5 more seconds. Stopping. I didn't even think about this one. Hold on. Oh, yeah. So the right answer. Majority answer is the right answer. Okay, good. Now, what about... I thought I have another one. All right. So if I am an equal gate expert, if I know how to make an equal gate, and... You know, people can, I can open a store and I can sell equal gates. And people can come to me and say, hey, I need to compare two numbers that are 10 bits each, or 7 bits each, or 100 bits each. How much, how many ands, nots, and ors do I need for any of them? So what if, you know, if I have any number of inputs, how many ands, nots, and ors will I need to buy to make my gate? So this is the equal 5 diagram. How does this diagram change as char 1 and char 2 have different same number of bits, but not 5 bits, but you know maybe 7 bits or 10 bits or 20 bits or 100 bits? Well, so do I have a clicker? Yeah, I do. Okay, so starting with the equal 5 as an example, how many AND gates does it take to make an equal 7 gate? So you have 7 equal gates and 1 AND 7 gate. So this becomes an AND 7 gate, who instead of 4 ANDs will require 6 ANDs. Okay? How many ANDs will I need? A, 14, B, 16, C, 18, D, 20, E, 22. So remember, there's 7 of these instead of 5. And instead of 4 ands here, there's 6 ands. Yeah?
How many ands are in each individual equal?
There's 2 ands, 2 nots, and 1 or. And each equal gate. Yeah. No. Because you need to use this diagram. That was funny. Can we correctly answer 0? I like that. No, we can't. But that's a good point. So I'm going to stop at 1:45. Okay, stopping. All right. Oh no. All right, that's pretty good. So, let's see. How many ands do we need to make just the equal gates that we need? 14. And then plus 6 is 20. All right. Good. I'm going to skip this one. All right, so we're done with gates for now. We're going to move on to binary numbers. And binary numbers are just like normal numbers. So our numbers, the numbers that we're used to, use all the digits between 0 and 9. Binary numbers use just the digits between 0 and 1. So one digit in a binary number can be either 0 or 1. Those are all the options that we have. So today we're going to try to figure out how to convert between, how do we find, if we have this binary number, What does this number mean? How much is this number? So we're going to convert between binary and decimal, and between decimal and binary. So just to recap, in decimal notation, so in normal decimal, by decimal I'm going to refer to regular numbers.
If we have the number 207, for example, 2 means that 2 gets multiplied by 100, which is 10 to the second power. 0 gets multiplied by 10, which is 10 to the first power. And 7 gets multiplied by 1, which is 10 to the 0th power. So the way you have it in decimal is that you have the powers of 10, 10 to the 0, 10 to the 1, 10 to the 2, 10 to the 3, and so on. And your number is going to be, if it's 207, it's 2 times 10 to the 2 plus 0 times 10 to the 1 plus 7 times 10 to the 0. 10 to the 0 is 1. This is 10. This is 100. 1,000. And this comes very natural to us because we're used to it. But the same thing can apply to binary numbers. And so in the binary case, instead of 10 to the power, we're going to have 2 different powers. So I just wrote down all the powers of 2, and we're going to try to convert 235, which is a decimal number. We're going to see what it is in binary. What's its binary representation? So just as I wrote these here, we're going to write the powers of 2 up to 2 to the 8th. That will cover most of our needs. If you ever need, if the number's too big, you can always multiply 128 by 2, that's going to give you 256, times 2, 512, and so on. So I'm going to write 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2, and you have to start right to left, just like in decimal. 2 to the 3, 2 to the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, so 2 to the 0 is 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and 256. So let's say you have a number like 235. Your first step is to look here in the table with the powers of 2. What is the largest power of 2 that is smaller than the number? Which one is that? 2 to the 7, so 128. Okay, good. I'm going to write this lower. 235. When we find that power of 2 that is largest but smaller than the number, we put a 1 underneath. And we subtract 128 from 235, and that gives us 107. Okay. Now, what is the largest power of 2 that is smaller than 107? That is smaller, sorry. 64. So we put a 1 under 64, subtract 64, 43. What is the next one? 32. That gives us 11. What is the next? The largest power of 2 that's smaller than 1. 8. And we subtract 8. Gives us 3. What's the next one? 2. 1. 0. Alright, and we fill out the spaces with 0s. So 235 written in binary is 1110101. That's 235. And we can check our work by saying, okay, this is 2 to the 0, so 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. 128. So, and then adding up all the ones that we have. So this one will be 1 times 128 plus 1 times 64 plus 1 times 32 plus 0 times. plus 1 times 8 plus 0 times 4 plus 1 times 2 plus 1 times 1. And see, it's much easier because we can just, you know, this, these small multiplications are not going to be very hard to do. It's 1 times something or 0 times something. But then we have to add all these things up, and this is going to give us 128 plus 64 plus 32 plus 8 plus 2 plus 1. And if you have a calculator, you can add those up. They should give you 235. Okay? Any questions?
So, to show this point better, I got these this binary money. So you have a one binary bill, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and 256. And I need a volunteer to show me how to make exactly
111.
I don't want to embarrass you in front of full class, so
you can just raise your hand.
So we have a, it'll be easier to see the numbers if you would come down here. Any volunteers? No? All right, I understand. How would you make though, if you have these,
so the numbers on the pieces of paper are these numbers.
1 1 11. Anybody? Nobody? Is this too hard? All right, maybe I'll do it. Okay. So, first of all, I look through my money, and I have the 256 on top of my pile, and they're ordered. So I go through the pile. It's definitely 256 is not going to work. It's too large. Then I have the 128. That's not going to work either. I have the 64, and I have to use it. I definitely have to use the 64 because there's not too much of the other ones. I'm going to use the 64. I'm going to put it here. Then I can use a 32. 32 plus 64 gives me 96, okay? So I still have some
weights to go. So 111 minus 96 gives me 5.
Okay, so I took a 64. 64 was the biggest bill that I could use as I was going through my pile.
So maybe I should say here, once I use the 64, I'll take the 64, how much do I have left? 47, right? If I'm ever messing up the math, let me know. So, I think that's true. It's 47, okay? So, I'm using the 64. And what can I do next? So, next in my pile is 32. Can I use the 32? Yes, I'm going to use the 32. So, I'm going to subtract 32 because I already paid for whatever it was. So, I'm left with 15, okay?
Going through my pile, 16, no. What about 8? Yes, I can use the 8.
So I'm left with 7. All right. 4? Yes? Great. I'm left with 3. Can I use a 2? So I made 111. Now I look what I have in my pile. So I have a 64, I have a 32, I have an 8 and a 4, a 2 and a 1. So 111. Can think of making change or something. Yeah.
Some numbers in binary are represented as 7 digits, while others are represented as 8.
You can, well, you can always think of numbers as having zeros here.
It'd pretty much be the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we said, if you remember in the beginning, that usually numbers are represented on 8 bits. So what that means is that no matter what, like, so this number would have a whole bunch of zeros on the side. So it'd be, okay, how many do you have? 2, 4, 6. So it will be like something like this. But just like in decimal, we don't read the first zeros.
Any other questions? So this is just showing you, you know, how you can go through this. And you have these slides. I post them on the website. This is just to show you how 235 breaks down. And then the binary to decimal, again, you make the, so let's say you have the number 10011010, and you want to convert it to decimal. What does this number mean in decimal? You do the same powers of 2, and the way you compute it is, going from left to right, you do, you know, 1 times 128, because 128 has a 1, plus 0 times 64, plus 0 times 32, plus 1 times 16, and so on, plus 1 times 8, plus 1 times 2, and that gives you 154. And that's the decimal number that corresponds to the binary number. How can you tell then a number in binary is even? Just looking at it, not convert. Just seeing the binary number, and how are you able to tell? Right on in the back. Yeah.
If the last digit is 0,
that number will be even. Good.
Okay, so this is just walking you through the steps of you know, exactly the steps that you need to take to convert the number. So if you want to, this is a bigger number, it's 651. You have basically, you basically have to go with the powers of 2 until you reach a number that's a power of 2 that is larger than the number. So you make sure that you're going to use the next power of 2. So in the case of 651, we need another power of 2, which is 512. And that's going to be our first, the first power of 2 that we're going to choose.
So here it shows that it's bigger than 2 to the 9th, which is 512. So that's going to have a 1 for it. You subtract it, it becomes 139.
The next power of 2 is 256, it's going to be a 0. The next power of 2 is 128, which is a 1, and so on, and that's going to be your number. So you have to use as many digits as you need. So now you can understand this joke that only people who understand binary understand. There are 10 kinds of people in the world, those who understand binary and those who don't. Thank you. Okay, great. Somebody laughed. All right. It's really funny, I think. Okay, so maybe I'll do this the next time. I think I mentioned before, Michael Littman, he's the chair of the computer science department, and he created this class. And he is very excited and a great entertainer. And he actually made a video, a music video. The first class he started singing, and that didn't go very well. But he actually made a music video to explain binary to people. So, you know, it's a very controversial video. The opinions are very mixed. You can feel free to dislike it. Hopefully it will help you understand binary. I'm just going to play it, and then we can be done for today. It's not very long. Please stay. He also made the gates. Wow. He also made the gates from Domino's, and he had that video that explained the gates. Maybe I should look for Octopus. Okay. It's controversial, I know.